Let's take our swords out. Dan, would you be kind enough to lead us? Father, I have your word, and I know it's true. I am everything it says I am. I have everything it says I have. And I can do everything it says I can do. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord has really been stirring my heart about some basics. And today, the title of this message is Wet Water Walkers. Wet Water Walkers. Have you ever heard of that term before? If you have, tell me what it is or your understanding of it. No one? Well, years ago, we had a troop of prophets come, and they had ministered to Irene and I about exactly what we have today. And one of the terms that they used was that we would be wet water walkers. And what that means is that God is taking us out of our comfort zone to walk with Him on water. How many of us have walked on water? I have. When it's frozen. I've skated on it too. But really, that terminology has stuck with me. That phraseology has stuck with me. And we have walked our lives in such a way that it is by faith in God, because it takes faith to get out of your comfort zone and begin to walk with Jesus. And I only know of one scripture, parable, story, whatever you want to call it, that illustrates our life and the life that Streams is about ready to enter in. And God is just reminding me how important it is for us as His children to begin to embrace coming out of our comfort zones. He also wants us to stop thinking in linear terms, straight line terms. He wants us to begin to start looking at bigger pictures of what He's doing in the land. Linear by that, I mean, I come to Jesus, Jesus tells me what He wants to do, and then I go do that. That's okay when we were children. We're growing up. Now what we have to do is, and this is what He's doing with me, is changing my thinking more and more into triunity of God and the three steps that He has converging together. And by that, we think that in our infantileness, I come to Jesus, and then I go into the world, and I come back to Jesus, and then I come back to myself. That's linear. What God wants us to begin to understand is that the world, Jesus, and us are in a convergence. And where we converge, there is a window in which you and I have an opportunity to do something great and awesome with God. You see, He's there already. He's everywhere in the world. He's just waiting for His people to show up. He's waiting for His people to start speaking, start acting, and presenting the gospel in a living way that the world would understand. And so what that requires is us getting out of our comfort zones and really begin to start walking by faith, not by sight, as 2 Corinthians 5 tells us. And so where we're going as a local assembly, we have established the beachhead, and now it's time to go and infiltrate the land and start bringing in Daddy's harvest. Amen? Turn to Matthew, the 14th chapter, the 22nd verse. We all know this scripture, or should at least have read it at least once or twice. And it's really the account of Jesus walking on water. And we'll start with the 22nd verse, and it says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went up to the mountainside to by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It's only I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if that's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they both climbed in back into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were within the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now this event happened after Jesus fed the 5,000. Okay? And if it jostles your mind, he fed 5,000 men. That didn't include the women and children. So we estimated, 15,000 to 20,000 people that he fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Miracle. And after he had done this great, great miracle, he told his disciples to get into the boat. Why? Because the crowds were trying to make Jesus king. And with all the euphoria going on, the disciples would have fallen into that trap and done the same thing. And so he said, "You guys, get into your boat and go to the other side. I'll meet you over there." He dismissed the crowds. He went to an isolated place and he prayed. The pressure that we are experiencing right now is nothing compared to the pressure that the Lord experienced when he was here in bodily form. Think about it. How many of us would have succumbed to the pressures of the world to be what they think we should be? Peer pressure is one of those elements that our teens face all the time. And it's getting greater and greater, this pressure. The lid's about ready to blow off. Jesus is coming. Jesus is here, but he's coming in bodily form. And we have to understand what is happening in this world and what he's doing to get us activated to be a part of that and bring his harvest in. He doesn't want to lose anything. Understand also that the topography of the Sea of Galilee, which the disciples were in, is 600 feet below sea level. It's kind of like a bowl, cup. Surrounded around that lake are mountains. And so when the wind comes down onto the mountain, it can churn the sea up. And the fishermen in that day were very comfortable in sailing those seas because they had faith in their boats, faith in their abilities, faith in catching fish, doing the things that fishermen do. They were comfortable. But we have to understand a couple things here. One, Jesus sent him out into it. Do you think he was caught unaware of the storm? No, he wasn't. Jesus knows everything. He knows what's coming. He's the beginning from the end. You could actually say he orchestrated this. And he's stirring our hearts. He's telling us to go. Go. Go in your comfort zones. Go in your things. Go and get ready, because I'm going to ask you to start doing the impossible. You see, God's not asking us to do the impossible. He wants us to be there to demonstrate His ability at the expense of our abilities. And we see that through this discourse that they were rowing and the storm was kicking up and Jesus was away in prayer. And a lot of times we are rowing our boats as fast as we can. We're trying to do the things as best as we can. Only we were becoming more and more tired. We're doing what we know to do. Jesus will let us do that. How many people have seen a drowning person and watch what lifeguards do? Has anyone seen it? I mean, I've been used to God to help a person from drowning. But generally what happens is if a person is thrashing in the water and they're drowning, they're excited and they're beside themselves. They're really looking for someone that they can latch onto. The problem is, if we go out before they're tired, we'll drown too. And that's what Jesus is doing right now. He's allowing us to go through the simple things of our lives to tire us out, to expend the energy, to exasperate our plans, because He has a greater plan. He has something that He wants us to do that we can't do ourselves. And so what He does is He tries to exhaust us in the natural so that the supernatural will take over. This is where I say that when we find ourselves in some of these storms, like the disciples found themselves, we have to look to see, did this storm come because of our obedience to Jesus? Or did this storm come because of our disobedience to Jesus? Our foolishness? And a lot of us run around and we find it really surprising that we get ourselves into a storm. We get ourselves into a pickle. We have problems. A lot of us came to Jesus thinking that we'll never have a tough day again. I was one of them until the first trial came and then the reality snapped me back in. You see, these trials are designed to strengthen our faith in Jesus Christ. They are not designed to hurt us. They are not designed to cause us to be afraid. They're designed to show us our limits compared to His unlimitlessness. Jesus wasn't taken back by the storm. He knew exactly what was going to happen. And He knew exactly how He was going to use that storm in such a way to build the faith of the disciples. Many times we make a declaration of how strong our faith is, don't we? We're kind of a little braggadocious about You know, how strong our faith is. We can believe this. We can believe that. We can do everything. But until you go into the storm and your faith has been tested, like it was tested with Peter, you really can't make that claim. And the storms we've gone through in walking with the Lord, I thank God that He's brought us through each and every one. We have to remind ourselves that in those storms that we find ourselves in, it's like all of a sudden we wake up and we're in this storm. Jesus has already been interceding for us. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father, and He's praying for you, He's praying for me, He's praying for streams, He's praying for His church worldwide. But He has to test the faith of His church to see what kind of condition it's in before He allows the church to take her next step. You see, it isn't just our obedience that we find ourselves in this storm. It's our continued obedience to get through the storm. And how many of us want to change course? We don't want to persevere. Oh, this is too hard. God, what you're asking me to do is impossible. No. He'll do the impossible. He's asking you to do what He said to do, and that was trust in Him. We have learned to coin a phrase when we find ourselves in these pickles. This too shall pass. You've heard us say it. You've been in there when we've prayed. This too shall pass. This will not stop me. This will only make me stronger. And believe God will do what He has promised to do for us. And He has every time. Every time. We find ourselves constantly going through the same troubles because we're not willing to do the things that will get us out of trouble. What did Jesus say? What is God saying to you? What is He speaking to your spirit? And when you're able to answer that question, the next one is, why aren't you doing it? And I've had people say, well, Pastor, I'm afraid. What are you afraid of? Jesus is with you. What are you afraid of? And then they give me a litany of things, and I'm compassionate, I listen. But they're just our crutches that we don't want God to kick out from us. And that's what He wants to do. In order for us to come out of our comfort zones, we got to jettison all the crutches that inhibit us from walking upright. Walking with Jesus. Jesus is already there in the situation with us. He's just waiting for us to lift our eyes off of ourselves to Him. To be focused on Him. Do you know your Lord? Or is He some sort of apparition? A ghost? See, that's what the disciples saw. They really didn't know the Lord. They really didn't see Him as He is. God Almighty. God incarnate. And we're no better. We really aren't. Because we focus on the situation instead of Him who was able to take us through that situation. I like what Irene said. You know, we've got to stop thinking about what He does for us and think about who He is to us. Better yet, we have to think who we are to Him. We're His kids. I don't know of a parent that would not lay down their life for their children. And He is a good Father. He prays for us. He encourages us. He does things to stimulate us. He has forgiven us of our childish rebellion. And when we realize that, He comes to us. And when we finally wake up, He says, "It's just me." When you find yourself in a storm, it's just me. When you find yourself being tested in the fires, it's just me. Why? Because there's something He wants us to get rid of that's inhibiting us. It's us. See, we're encapsulated in a natural body, and one day this body is going to expire. The last 3-4 years, our family has suffered tremendous loss through loved ones going on to glory, to loved ones who don't know the Lord and have gone on, and such anguish of our souls for them. It's not like we haven't told them. It's not like we haven't lived in front of them. I was just told that my oldest brother, who doesn't believe in Christ, is having tremendous medical problems. His last medical procedure was a catheter that was medically put in by the doctors. And I found that when they insert the catheter, they actually use a balloon at the end of the catheter to keep it from coming out. He pulled it out and lost a tremendous amount of blood. And my sister is trying to witness to him, trying to get him to understand that it's only God's mercy that is keeping him here. And God wants him to be part of His family. God's praying for him. We, as believers, are praying for him. That it doesn't matter how far down he goes. What matters is if he would lift his hand up and ask the Lord for help. Because we all need help. When we're in the storms of life, usually Jesus is the last person we invite. When, for the church, we should be asking Him as the first and only. I don't want to know man's opinion about this or that. I want to know God's. I want to know what He wants me to do and how to do it. I want to know how to express His love and compassion for the lost. To the lost. Not just to His people. And you guys have been with me through the years. I know it gets uncomfortable, but I'm constantly fishing. No matter what, where we're at. If we're just there for coffee, I'm talking to the waitress. I'm talking to the server. I'm trying to build a relationship. Then I ask the pertinent question. So, where are you at with the Lord? Come on, sit down next to me. I can't sit down. Yes, you can. Sit down. I'll take the heat for it. And it's funny because I watch you guys squirm because it's uncomfortable. but he has set me free from my comfort zone. And that's what he's trying to do with streams, is set us free from our comfort zones to really go into the areas where he already is waiting for us. And all we have to do is say, Lord, bid me to come. We're still stuck on, is that you, Lord? We really are. Did God really say that to me? Does he want me to speak to this person? Does he want me to do an act of kindness to this person? Does he want me to sell this to help this one? Did he really want me to go mow the lawn? Did he want me to go change oil for somebody? Did he? I don't know what God said to you. I know what he's saying to me. You see, these storms are designed to draw us closer to the Lord, not further away from God. And the storms are going to come. I can guarantee that the storms are going to come. But they're going to come in the most inconvenient times of our life. And they come. Like I said, Irene and I, when we recognize it, we're in it, we cry out to God, Lord, show us what you want us to do. Show us how to do it. Be there with us as we do these things. You see, his concern is not about our welfare, although he is concerned about our welfare. I don't want to minimize that. He's concerned about faith. He said to the disciples, when the Son of Man returns, will he see faith on the earth? That's what he's about. He's, you know, do you really believe God, or is your belief in God just ethereal? It's just the thought life. See, the God I believe in, he does miracles, and I expect him to do miracles. I expect him to do over and above what I could ever ask or imagine. I expect that of him. You know what he expects of me? To believe it, that he can do this. Nothing more. You can't do what God does. I can't do it. I tried. I've learned I'm not that smart. I learned that my plans just don't work out the way God wants them to work out. You see, it's his plan. And he's trying to get us onto his plan. What plan are you on? Usually, if we've been walking with the Lord any period of time, we're probably down to plan X, Y, and Z now instead of his plan, which is plan A. It's always been plan A. He doesn't have a plan B. And to show you just how faithful he is, he's been working it since the beginning. He hasn't deviated. Since the beginning. I remember the first time he said for me to talk to my family members about Christ. And the zeal of God was like, oh man, this is exploding. And they rejected Christ. I wasn't smart enough to realize that my zeal was pushing them away. Now it's conversational. It's all it has to be. It's just a conversation. Peter is such an example of faith. Growing faith, testing faith, that we would be remiss not to point this out. Peter had doubt. Is that you, Lord? Yes, it's me. Well, I like to do what you're doing. Bid me to come. Come on, Peter. Out of the 12, Peter was the only one that got out of his comfort zone. You see, the boat illustrates our comfort zones. And we have to get out in order to walk on water. Jesus is calling us to walk on water. And we struggle in our comfort zones. Peter got out of the boat. Stepped on the water. He's like, this is good. This is cool, Jesus. I'm going to come to you. And he starts walking to Jesus. And then he makes a mistake. He starts looking around at his situation and his circumstances. He starts listening to what other people are saying. And Jesus says, come on. Come on, you're doing fine, Pete. Come on. And he starts to sink. He took his eyes off the Lord. He took his focus off of what God had said to him. And he was reverting back to look at his ability, not God's abundant ability. And he began to sink. And he cried out. He cried out to Jesus to save him. And Jesus just reached over, picked him up, and said, well, you have a little faith. Why did you ever doubt? Peter's faith failed. It was tested. It failed. That didn't make him a failure. He at least got out of the boat. He at least started to do what God had encouraged him to do. He got out of his comfort zone. What are you going to do? You see, I determined a long time ago that I'm just a vessel. And I'm just smart enough to obey God no matter what comes our way. You see, faith is not the evidence of things that are apparent. Faith is continuing through in spite of the consequences. You see, we stop because we look at the consequences and we never do anything for God. God has called streams to a place where we have to come out of our comfort zones. We have to. There are people dying, going to hell, with a false security of their religion, not in the person of Jesus Christ. You are called to walk on water. Jesus is beckoning you to come. Don't worry about what others are going to say about you. Don't matter. It only matters what he says about you. Don't matter or focus on what it's going to cost you, because to live as a true Christian, it's going to cost you everything that you have and everything you are. So, and you don't own it anyhow. You don't even own yourself. To be a wet water walker, you're going to have to live with your faith getting tested all the time. And I can remember early on that my head was always on a swivel. We'd come together, and I'm always looking. I didn't realize that God was working these things out. Due to my immaturity, I thought it was the enemy. And I would always look to see what the enemy's doing. Well, you know what? I've learned in my 30 years of walking with Christ that I don't even pay attention to what the devil does anymore. He's defeated. He's under my feet. He's under your feet. You have the victory in Jesus Christ. You are more than conquerors. You have to believe it. I can say it, and I can live it, but my faith isn't going to get you through. It's your faith. You want good things to happen in your life, and you try to skirt away from the bad things, ain't going to happen. Tried it. Been there, done that. That's how I learn. I'm not the brightest bulb in the box, but thank God I'm still hooked up to the source. Where we walked before, we didn't have a lot of support. We didn't have what you have. And you have a lot today. You really do. You have Jesus Christ, the righteous. So stop trying to do His job. Just do what He tells you to do. Show up where He wants you to show up. And be who He's created you to be. It's really that simple. And I just gave you the gospel. That's really all it is. If you want to walk on water and be where Irene and I are, then stand to your feet. Then, yeah, you don't have to. God is stirring your hearts. I know, because He's stirring mine. Just tell Him. Tell Him that you want to do great things with Him. Tell Him where you need His strength because you're weak in that area. Tell Him where you messed up and had your own plans and you want to be on His page of His plan. Tell Him. And when we're all done, I'll ask Pastor Mike to end us in prayer. This is your time. This is your time. God. God, do it. Reveal yourself strong and mighty, O God. Reveal yourself, God. That we don't have to be afraid of anything, God. Because You are with us, God. Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear anything. Because You are with us, O God. Because You are with us, Your light shines. Help us to bring them in, God. Help us to get out of our comfort zones and bring them in, God, that don't know You yet.